Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, which shares stories of spiritual awakenings, spiritual communication, healing energy, and miracles, and a guide to your soul awareness. Today I am delighted to welcome Michelle Dean, author of Saving America's Grace, who, like myself and many conscious citizens of America, the world and the universe are living and observing a corruption of basic goodness and the values of many of our American traditions and culture. Perhaps we must challenge conventional assumptions about moral values and explain why the culture war or the rules of engagement for our society hasn't worked to create the moral society we say we truly want. Hello, Michelle, and thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me, Cheryl.
Michelle, when I saw the title of your book, it was something that really personally spoke to me because I am trying to work tirelessly to help individuals and families to create a dialogue of truth about who we are, what life's really about, and actually, as soul beings, what we're supposed to accomplish during our physical life, and how we can and must help the children follow their own basic intuition and inner soul needs, rather than be held back in by many old beliefs and behaviors, so the future generations can move past archaic, limited thinking. Michelle, as listeners of Healing From Within are well aware, my guests and I seek a greater view of universal energy laws, offering ways for clearer self-investigation and self-mastery of emotions. So that way we discover who we really are and what life's about, and we can acknowledge our own energetic or spiritual essence, and also our ego-based or materialistic physical human needs. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Michelle Dean, who is an expert in human development and family relations, will discuss rethinking family values, moral politics, and the culture war, for the breakdown of character has been festering in politics and our culture. And if our goal is to create a better America, as we must, at this time when major shifts are happening within each of us and in the outer world, we can not only worry about surviving, but we have to thrive in a world beset with challenges that are coming to a head here and internationally. So we must expect our families and leaders to remember, review, and implement good character to guide us, our citizens and our society, parents who are molding their children and through them, our future. Michelle, I always love to ask my guests to think back to their childhood and remember a person, a place, or an event that may have shown you or others something about the values, goals, and interests maybe you were going to grow into as an adult, for I think the destiny or life plan is already there at the beginning. So think back for a minute.
Well, as I mentioned in the dedication of my book to my father, he taught me to stand in principle for truth with courage, no matter the tide.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's how he lived his life. And he had a quiet humility about him, but he never put money before people. In fact, I can remember somebody giving him a check for something that he had done for them, and he tore it up. And because that wasn't the agreement, he wanted to do this for somebody without getting paid.
Well, maybe
But
he
that
knew
was
they
the
didn't have the money. Maybe he knew that.
it's very possible. And he so kind of that's the kind of person he was. And I suppose we both have the same kind of streak in terms of being kind of fight for what's right. And that's what brought me to write this book.
Yes.
I just have seen so much that hasn't been right, and rather than fighting against what's wrong, we have to fight for what's right.
Excellent.
makes
That is
sense.
correct. You know, when I was little, I wasn't aware at that time. You know, I was intuitive or I was empathic and I was picking up other people's emotions and feelings and being distressed by it. And I would see grown-ups or children do something that was totally immoral or unkind or not right. And I would think to myself, and sometimes I'd cry. I would think, why do they behave like this? It's like I almost couldn't understand that what I knew or felt they didn't understand. So it was very hard for me. And I think you have a similar feeling. I can hear in your voice the brightness and the sharpness and the awareness that there are people in this world who simply have to do the right thing no matter what others say. And they will.
That's right.
And they will,
That's right.
and they do. So let's go on to something of your professional life and what really sparked your idea. You just said it was sparked because you wanted to do the right thing based on your whole lifetime and family values. So this is a very critical time now. So tell us something about that.
So I have this I would say streak in me of, needing to speak up for what's right. And I was never, my book has both a political angle as well as a family relations angle. You know, how can we raise children to be essentially with strong character that ultimately will support our nation, be strong citizens. But anyway, I was never political, and then 9/11 happened. It woke me up. I started paying attention to everything that was written, both internationally and here, about what was happening in politics that I hadn't been aware of. And then, we went to war. George W. Bush and his administration sent us to war under false pretenses, the yellow cake nuclear, material never existed. And that just sent me, talk about wanting to fight for what's right. And, going to war, I mean, you don't get any more serious than that. So, I was very upset by that fact. And then 2004 came around, and it was our opportunity to change the administration, elect somebody else. And John Kerry was running against George W. Bush. Well, that election was brilliantly manipulated, if I can use those two words in the same sentence.
If I can interrupt you for a minute, it
Yeah.
seems I, like you, was not interested in this until 9/11 also. And I was never political. And I have become very aware of the manipulation that goes on at all levels of government. And I'm very saddened by it because I expect our leaders, our politicians who are well educated, to use their intellect and their intuitive wisdom to do the right thing, like we just discussed before, and they're not. And it's not only here, it's all over the world.
That's right. And it's not only on the right, it's on the
Of
left as
course,
well.
it's both. Right. Thank you very much for saying that because I couldn't really care about the left or right because I've discovered that I'm not either of those. I am just a humanist and one who wants us to find our full potential to thrive in a world being decent, conscious human beings, working
That's right.
cooperatively and not competitively. And that's where you and I have moved through all the issues that are floating around us, that are bombarding us with an energy of negativity and fear and limitation. And we are the ones who are, with our writing and talking about this, trying to let everyone see nobody's perfect, nobody has all the answers. And what is unfolding now, I believe, is part of a big spiritual plan that will take many more people to the awareness of being present in working in your communities cooperatively and not expecting government to do it all for you. to have all the control. So that's where I think we're going. But let's go on to what were some of the most surprising things you learned on your journey for the real meaning of family values? Because you have focused on that, and I, as an intuitive healer, work with a lot of children and families, and I am a very interested in helping them grow to another level of their own awareness. So tell us something about that.
Well, what I was saying is, how does a person with a human development and family relations background get involved in politics? And how that happened was in 2004, the religious right became pretty much the message maker for the Republican Party, and they were using the wedge issue of gay marriage. And they used family values. That was their platform. They were the moral party. They were the party that cared about families. They were the party that had family values. And they were also saying things like that were not true. And I was thinking to myself, not on my watch. Nobody in my field was stepping up to the plate to straighten out the untruth, to put it diplomatically, that were being spoken. For example, the seismic waves from same-sex marriage and parenting have the potential to deconstruct humanity. That is absolutely not true. Marriage is
A myth. That's a
self-destructive.
myth. Right. It's a myth.
Absolutely. And as you were mentioning, it's how a party or a political person can use fear in order to manipulate the population. They're going to deconstruct humanity. I mean, that people were fearful that if we allowed same-sex marriage, our society was basically going to crumble. And that's what the message was. And they were saying things like social and political liberals are tearing families apart, undermining marriage, and belittling Christian values and endangering our children. What endangers our children are not humanistic values like you and I have. And to suggest that is absolutely wrong. And so I was out to explain why that is not so in my book and to offer suggestions for parents who want to seriously raise sound, moral children from the inside out.
Absolutely, and you've done a wonderful job with that. And I want to just say something to our listening audience. When I was a little girl, I remember winning the character award, and I think back on it now, and what did it really mean, the good character award? It meant exactly what you and I are talking about here. Someone who will stand up for someone who believes in a different way and still treat them with kindness and respect, and someone that will help someone who has addictions or problems or family issues who has fallen down and treat them kindly and with respect. And I have twin granddaughters, and both of them at different times have won the character award, and I actually cried. There hasn't been much of many people putting their attention or intention in this aspect of their children's growth. They've been more interested in what
Absolutely.
school they'll get into and how much money they'll make and what friends they have and what car we drive in. All this materialistic stuff
Exactly.
has taken us away from what is the most important thing you can give your children: good character. Right? Love for humanity, love for themselves, love for life. And that's, yeah.
And that's where and that's where a parent can feel truly proud is when their child shows character grace. It's so
Yes.
much more important than getting the good grades or being the best on the soccer field. It's the essence of who we are as human beings.
Well, we want them to develop their talents because no one can be good at
Sure.
everything. Parents kind of think their children are going to be athletic and they're going to be musical and they're going to be spiritual and they're going to
Right.
be authors. But you know what? We just have to allow the children to find their own interests and develop whatever. And we need to respect people who maybe are not, how can I say, we're all in the same energy. We're all gifted with this eternal life force. But in the physical realm and personality and capabilities, some of us have different or more, some have less.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't matter. We have to help everybody develop to their own level of potential and treat everybody cooperatively, not competitively, with respect. And if our political system can begin to get a grip on this, we're going to be seeing a lot change there also.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go
mm-hmm.
on to, this is important and you can help us with this. What does it take
mm-hmm.
to create happy homes, healthy souls, and well-adjusted children in America, right now, right
mm-hmm.
here in America? Because it's different in other nations and cultures. Right now,
that's right.
Right here.
That's right. So we're going to be talking about a family who has its basic needs met. And obviously that's not the case with everybody in America, but like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, it's really hard to focus on other things when your basic needs aren't met. However, as you mentioned earlier in the opening of our interview, self-mastery of emotions is crucial. And that, if I were to say one thing, that is what we need to be focusing on. And I call it, really tapping in to how do we help people kind of be connected with their soul. And there's a quote by the Dalai Lama: through lack of basic human feeling, religion, politics, economics, and so on can be rendered dirty. Instead of serving humanity, they become agents of its destruction. And I feel like that is where we are today, that we are seeing in the highest levels of our politics and our administration here what appears to be a basic lack of human feeling. By that I mean empathy. And empathy is the glue that makes social life possible. We need to teach children empathy, and in doing that, we need to be empathic as parents. And I'm not saying that you let your child do whatever they want. Empathy with limit setting is what our children need to boil it down to the simplest formula in terms of them developing from the inside out. And that's about character. Developing values is a little bit different. I can talk more about empathy if you like, but that's the answer.
Well, you also talk about that maybe traditional family values, or the code for biblical patriarchal values, are fundamentally flawed. You know, they come from 4,000
mm-hmm.
years ago. They were written
mm-hmm.
by man. They do give us a code for respecting life and each other in a community setting, but they have so many restrictions, so many fears, so many separations between men and women and children and other religious groups, that perhaps
mm-hmm.
that's another thing that's being looked at now, much like politics, because traditional family values need to look at the roles and the quality of relationships, just obedience over personal and spiritual development. It's kind of shallow.
Yeah.
Really creates
That's
a hole
right.
in the soul of our families, as you said. So also, take for example, these are a few facts that you put out there. Marriage is no longer a societal duty, but is based on love and personal life enhancement. Contraception has given women greater freedom to choose children and family life if they want, or work or
mm-hmm.
careers if they want that. Women are no longer as financially dependent upon the man of the house, and women can finally stand up to walk away and prosecute husbands for abuse or rape, and no-fault divorce is now legal, and children can no longer be whipped into shape with a well-used rod. And that's exactly change that has come about. What would you think, in the last 20 years?
Well, the freedoms for women began in the 70s, and it's gradually gotten, it's evolving, just like, all civil rights have. But yeah, in the 70s, I think it was 1977 when a woman could first was allowed to even apply for a credit card. So it's remarkable how much change has happened.
Yeah, that's a
And
pretty short time,
yeah.
actually. Yeah,
Yeah.
I just heard the Miss USA, who was just voted, selected, and she just said, when asked about feminism, "I'm really not interested in feminism. I'm interested in equality. When men and women are equal in the workplace as they should be, and in education as they should be, and in a family life." Or creating a family with children as they should be. So this is saying that so much has happened to put aside a lot of past thinking where there was so much separation. And we're going towards more bringing it all together. And I think that's a very wonderful thing. Very wonderful. And I'm happy to be living to see all these changes, actually. I remember the 70s and all the protests and all the women march, and I never did because I never felt that I was missing anything. Everything I chose to do, I did to the best of my ability, and I didn't encounter some of the experience maybe that some other women did. So it wasn't as real for me, and I just did the best I could, continuing to learn and to participate and to engage what was good for me, which is what we should all be doing. Of course, there's things going on that are not good for us, that we have to just say, I'm not engaging there. Let those people find their way, and they can receive help from above or higher energy or wisdom, that higher force that I was talking about earlier. But I won't get involved in it because I won't fight, and I won't denigrate, and I won't name call. And that is going to be the way forward. When enough people can engage what's good for them and their families and not get embroiled in all this ugliness of emotions that are out of boundaries. So, why is a new moral focus for American politics crucial now? Let's just go to that topic for a minute.
Well, we live in a democracy, and our founders knew that in order to be self-governing, virtue was crucial.
Yes, absolutely.
So, in order to put the needs of others before your own or the needs of the common good as a leader, you have to have elements of character. And our founders knew that democracy was a highly moral concept, and we have lost that.
We're working to bring back a simple golden rule.
Well, the golden rule is, in its most basic form, it's you treat other people as you would like to be treated. And it involves empathy. I mean, because you have to have empathy in order to feel how another person might feel in a situation. And what's important about the golden rule is that it rises above all the religion, and all it rises above and incorporates messages from all the religions. I have a
Absolutely. Yep. Yep.
section in my book where I have quotes from Taoism, Christianity, Islam, Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism, quotes on the golden one, some version of the golden rule. It's said in different ways. Like in Judaism, it's what is hateful to you, do not do it to others. So that's the same idea, and that's critical. And we have to remember that I wish I could remember who said this. I believe it's an anonymous quote, but it doesn't take religion to be moral. It takes empathy. You will find morality in any corner of the world, in any religion. And you will find immorality in any corner of the world, in any
Yes,
religion.
and Michelle, I think what you and I want our listeners to think about is we're many things. You know, there's the light and the dark, but there is goodness in each of us. And we want to start to have people realize, instead of focusing so much on what is wrong, to start to focus on what is really good within us. And I wrote this. I believe, Michelle, you want change in both parties to include a more moral and spiritual approach to leading our nature into the future, our nation into the future. And you wrote this. No longer will progressives have to defend themselves from the righteous indignation of conservative pundits who derisively accuse liberals of being amoral, or in their more generous comments, morally relativistic, a loosey-goosey bunch guided by hedonistic whims and base impulses. This is a story for people who crave a voice rooted in sound moral reasoning that rises above the fray of family values rhetoric, for people who care about their families and family life in general, for families who fit the conventional mold, and for those that don't. It's a story about family values that go deeper than superficial structure and traditional roles, for families whose greatest desire is to teach their children to be good, decent people whose very presence strengthens society and enhances humankind. This is a story about morals that go deeper than literal interpretations of holy books written thousands of years ago by the fallible hands of man, undergoing numerous translations. Hence, it's a story for those who know they are good, moral people, yet do not subscribe to fundamentalist dogma. Religious progressives of any and all beliefs, as well as agnostics, atheists, secularists, humanists, or whatever label you choose. It's a story about democratic principles that are the foundation of America, a country whose truest tradition is the belief in the moral righteousness of individual freedom, derived from a humanistic faith to the inherent goodness of individuals, their unlimited potential, capacity for self-governance, and commitments to the common good. Bravo! And I want to thank you, bravo! I want to thank you, Michelle Dean, for a truthful and insightful look at the political, family, and world values that exist now, and hopeful new thinking and action that can move us all forward into a more humane and loving society. To purchase Saving America's Grace, go to Michelle Dean, DEEN. com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, Michelle Dean, in a very thoughtful way, has pointed out the need for change in all aspects of life at this tipping point time in both American and world history. Since I believe in a bigger universal plan that guides us, I feel the 2016 election went the way it was supposed to awaken more people like Michelle and myself, who on a spiritual quest to know ourselves and to work towards life as it could be, with the energy of effort, consistency, trust, and faith and hope to do good in the world, and to awaken many to know the reason for a soul to have a physical life in the first place. And through challenge and adversity, we find our way to greater love and compassion. Michelle's story is a story about a moral absolute that is nothing more and nothing less than the secularly sympathetic and doctrinally ubiquitous golden rule, which we just talked about before. It is a story of empathy and compassion, the unifying transcendent traits of the human heart that usher in grace, allowing a healing force in our society to emerge. Michelle and I would have you remember, you are not really a Republican, Democrat, progressive, or any member of a group that limits you to one set of rules and behaviors. You are beyond the ego and personality of society's thinking, a soul, I believe, of divine light and energy, love and courage. Once you know that, you will no longer allow yourself to be assigned a label. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing from Within, and I invite you to visit my website, cherylglick.com, to read and listen to leaders in education, science, the arts and music, energy medicine, psychology, spiritualism, religion, politics, and human development offer new awareness of the true nature of life and spirit. Shows may also be heard on DreamVision7Radio.com and WebTalkRadio.net. Thank you.